From the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Then he said to all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit himself?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On the second day of Lent, the Church has us focus on our intentionality, on what we're doing and why we're doing it, in order to stoke our resolve to do the right thing and to do it with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength. So we begin with the book of Deuteronomy today, in this last will and testament that Moses gives to the Jews after their time in the desert, before he would die and Joshua would lead them across the Jordan into the promised land. He summarized all that God had done. And then at the very conclusion, he proposes it to their freedom, and he wants them to choose. Because not to choose is a choice. And he wanted them to choose the real path to persevere in receiving God's blessings and aligning their entire life to it. We know what happened to the Jews. 10 plagues weren't enough. Crossing through the Red Sea and seeing Pharaoh and his chariots destroyed wasn't enough. Having manna every single day wasn't enough. Having water flow from a rock wasn't enough. Having quails come down from heaven to feed them when they wanted meat wasn't enough. Hearing God make Mount Sinai thunder when Moses was up there and giving him the commandments and scribing them on stone wasn't enough. So many theophanies throughout the desert weren't adequate. They still complained. They still were longing for the death that was inevitable for them in Egypt. They weren't persevering in communion with the Lord. And that experience of the Jews for the 40 years in the desert is the context for us to understand Lent. As Jesus himself leads us out into that desert, the new Moses. And we're going to be tempted to look back toward our old life or look toward the Lord and with him toward real life. And so Moses says, and we can hear the Lord saying the same thing to us at the beginning of Lent. "Today I have set before you a choice between life and prosperity, death and doom. What's the path to life? If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin on you today, so obey, love the Lord, walk in his ways, keep his commandments and statutes and decrees. If you do this, you will live and grow numerous, and the Lord will bless you." That's the path of the choice of life that we hear the commands of the Lord as words to be done, that we love the Lord as he gives us these commands and see them as a means by which we're able to grow in that love. It's a path for us to journey. This is the way the Lord wants us to walk. And then we keep, as Moses will say later, we will keep his commandments by passing them on as of the first importance, drilling them in to our children and to kids, etc. This is the path to life. And that's a proposal. The other side is death and doom. If, however, you turn your hearts away and will not listen, because again, the most important set of ears we have are the ears of our heart, and are they really attentive to listening to the Lord's word with love? But if you're led astray and adore and serve other gods, that's always what happens when we're not serving the Lord. As the Pope said in his first homily, we either serve God or we serve the devil. We serve some idol. We're always serving some god. But if we turn our heart away from the Lord and won't listen to him, but are led astray and adore and serve other gods, you will certainly perish. You will not have a long life. So Moses wipes clean his conscience, saying, I call on heaven and earth to witness against you that I've given you this choice, have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Choose life then, that you will live and your descendants will live. And again, repeats the verbs, love it by loving the Lord, heeding his voice, and holding fast to him. This will mean life for you. We know how central this passage is in Evangelium Vitae, which I know you know by heart. Paragraph 28 describes this passage, and it mentions that this is the real describer of the battle between the culture of life and the culture of death. But then it goes on. It says it's not enough for us to understand these words merely in the choice for life versus the choice for abortion and all the other offenses against life. We have to go deeper, St. John Paul II said. We have to recognize that this choice for life has to have moral and religious consequences that extend throughout our entire life. And then we have to go deeper still to recognize that that choice for life at the moral and religious level is the choice not of a thing, but it's the choice of the one who came to give us life and give it to the full. To choose life is to choose Christ, to obey him who teaches us with love, to cling to him, to hold fast to him, to heed his voice, to walk in his ways. That's ultimately the path to life. So, that's the choice that's before us. And doesn't it seem like such a no-brainer? After all, the choice between life and death, it's kind of like the choice between filet mignon and dry tree bark. Who would choose the bark? At a conceptual level, none of us would. At a practical level, most of us do. And that's why hand-picked to go with this first reading is today's gospel. To choose life means that we're going to die. We're going to die in the Lord so that the Lord can live. Jesus gives us that same choice today. And he says, first about himself, that he would suffer greatly, be rejected, be killed, and on the third day be raised. And then he says to us, if any of you wishes to come after me, this is where I'm going. I'm going to be rejected, to suffer, to be killed, and then to be raised to life. This is where I'm going. If any of you wishes to follow after me, this is the path. Involves three actions. You must deny yourself rather than affirm yourself. I do not know the man. Take up your cross daily. As I like to stress, the cross is not just the second bat in the on-deck circle so that when you come up to the plate, you're able to swing the one bat much faster and hit grand slams. It's not just a little extra burden on our shoulders. The cross was exclusively understood when Jesus said it as an instrument of death. To take up our cross daily means to embrace what's going to lead the old Adam in us to extinction. And then follow me. Walk in these ways. Walk in this path to life. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. So the choosing of this earthly life is actually the path to death. That's what the Jews showed us in the desert. But losing our life for Jesus' sake will save it. That is the path to life, and this is the means. Self-denial, the cross, and the sequela, the following of the Lord all the way. Jesus asks poignantly at the end, what profit is there to gain the whole world, yet lose and forfeit himself? If you choose to accentuate your life in this world, you will die. But if you're willing to give your life away in this world for me and for the gospel, that's when you live. And so that choice between life and death, between prosperity and doom, is a choice between living today's gospel or neglecting it, thinking that real life is back in Egypt. The responsorial psalm accentuates the choice for us about the two types of life. The blessed man is the one who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night, and uses such a beautiful image to describe him. Like a tree planted near running water, yielding its fruit in due season, whose leaves never fade. Whatever he does prospers. Somebody who lives this cruciform life that Jesus proposes to us today, somebody who really chooses it with persevering intentionality, is going to be like this ever-fruitful tree planted near him who is the living water, not just near him, but in him, as branches on the vine, yields its fruit, who never loses beauty, and who prospers in everything he does, not in a financial way, but because everything works out for the good for those who love God and were called according to his path. Whatever he will do will accrue to his spiritual benefit and to the salvation of the world. God has promised that. This is the choice of life through the choice of the cross. The wicked, the fool, is like chaff. There's nothing there. The wind blows it away. For us, as we begin this Lenten season, we have to face this choice full on. And it needs genuinely to influence our Lenten practices. When we think about our prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, when we think about the sacrifice that we're making, are they adequate to bring us to real life in the Lord? Is there adequate self-denial involved? Is it a path of embracing Christ fully on the cross? Is it an almsgiving that's going to give to our limits? Or are we just doing something that, albeit good, will never lead ultimately to what the Lord is calling us to in today's gospel? As we pray, is it a means by which we're really denying the other things that we would prefer to do with our dime, perhaps? Is there a cruciform aspect to it that helps us to die to our own egos so that Christ can live? Or is our prayer, for example, all about me, all about ourselves? Are we constantly talking about ourselves with prayer? Is it an almsgiving? Are we taking advantage of that opportunity before the King of Kings to intercede for those we care about, to bring their needs? Likewise with our fasting. Is there a self-denial? Is it a real self-denial? Is it just giving up a little something that really doesn't bother us very much? Or are we giving up something to which we're really addicted, enslaved in a sense, like the Israelites were addicted to the flesh pots of Egypt? Is there a cruciform aspect to it? Do we feel like we will die if we don't have that blank? That's the case, and we really won't die, then maybe it's a good thing to take on. Is there an almsgiving that's part of our fasting? Do we recognize that if we have less, it might be so that others can have more? Similarly with our charity. Is there a real self-denial in charity so that we can affirm God in others? Is there a cruciform aspect to it? Do we die even to the need or the desire to be thanked? Is there the following of the Lord in it? Who, as we're about to witness anew, gives us his own body and blood as the greatest of all alms and says, "Do this in memory of me." Today, as we come forward, the Lord gives us that choice. The choice of real life, which is supposed to be the most religious and moral choice we've ever made. In the midst of a culture of so much death and spiritual death, of so much lukewarmness, in which people give the Lord what's left over rather than what's right. The church wants us to respond to the graces God gives and root ourselves in Jesus, the living water, choosing him who has first chosen us. The Lord's waiting for our answer.